I'm Mike, and Rich is my friend, and John Bruno is my brother. Duh.
What do you think of your brother Bruno?
Oh, that idiot. He's pretty cool.
he's an idiot, and he's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
Cool. All right, good. Yeah. What do you think of Mr. Costanzo?
Mr. Costanzo. Oh, why am I calling my father Mr. Costanzo? He's here, so I'm going to be nice. He's pretty cool, too.
Did you eat sausages?
Oh, you know I love my sausages. All varieties.
Thank you. Good job, Mike.
You're welcome, Rich. Now, back to you.
Hi, I'm Rich.
Oh, yeah. No, too rich now. Too rich now.
Go ahead. Do me. Go ahead. Hi,
I'm Rich. How you doing, guys? I got a microphone here, too, and I got computers, and I got some buttons here. I'm going to hit something right now.
I'll just bash it with a rock.
Yeah, that's what I do. Oh, well, so this is Rich and the Crispy Noodle with Michael here by my side. What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
That's pretty good. That's all I got for you tonight.
Bye. Okay, that's the end of the podcast.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics to go over with you to inform you about what's going on in the world that we find interesting. We've split it up into the three parts of a meal with the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and the non-fortune cookie odd news. This podcast is a meal for your mind.
That's right.
Before we dive into all those headlines, we like to have like a little bit of an introductory portion of the show, let you know what we've been up to in the week or so since we've last made a podcast. So, Mike, what have you been up to? 4th of July, everything going crazy?
Yeah, it was a very busy week for me. We had the 4th of July. We always have it here at my house because we also celebrate my birthday on the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's right. It's Mike's birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
Glorious leader.
Happy birthday to you.
Woo. Yeah, happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you, thank you.
Woo.
I am the glorious leader. I didn't realize I got promoted from Michael to glorious leader. When did that happen?
I don't know. I just thought for you since you...
Does it come with new responsibilities?
You love praising glorious leaders.
Praise the glorious leader. So I do. I do love praising
today
glorious
would be
leaders.
Praise Mike the leader.
Yay.
Yeah, praise Mike the leader.
Praise the glorious leader.
Yeah. So
all right. I have my own theme song now. Courtesy of Rich.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's your birthday present.
Yeah, yeah, a theme song. Everybody should have a theme song, okay?
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome thing to have. Just play it with you wherever you go.
Walk into a room.
People know it's you. Yeah, like, there's the theme music.
Use pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
Have it
yeah.
be like WWE. It would be great.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Got to get me a title belt.
Yeah. No, yeah. I want the title belt. That's
fine.
My idea.
You can have the title belt. I don't care.
We were talking before the show. I think every sports championship should be a title belt.
Yeah.
Screw the Lombardi trophy. Screw the World Series trophy.
Just strap the trophies to a belt and just wear the trophy as a belt.
Yeah.
I think that is probably the best compromise.
And all the players that are on the team get to wear the title belt for a day. Have it be like the Stanley Cup.
Or make it a week. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of weeks.
Well, the NBA, you could probably get away with that because there's only like 15 players on a team.
The NFL is probably the only one you couldn't get away with.
Yeah.
Because they have big rosters.
Right.
So, but anyway.
How the hell did we get off on this? Oh, your birthday.
My birthday.
Logic.
Yeah, wow. There you go. Leaps and bounds of logic.
Yep.
So yeah, this past week I was pretty busy. I had the great fortune to see two of the biggest movies of the summer this past week. I saw both Inside Out and Jurassic World in 1 week. Yeah, two of the biggest movies. They were both fantastic. Jurassic World, you know I have a soft spot for dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. So
motherfucking pterodactyl.
Yeah. And there were pterodactyls in the movie.
Motherfucking pterodactyl.
Yeah, yeah, they were pretty cool. Not as much as the other dinosaurs. But I enjoyed the movie. I think it did a good job of paying homage to the original while, you know, leaving its own stamp with its genetically modified dinosaur. I had some fears about the movie being a little gimmicky from the trailers, you know, with Chris Pratt, like, training velociraptors. But I will say this. That was my big worry. That was going to be corny and gimmicky. But they actually earned that scene. You know, they built it up through the movie. It was a serious subplot through the whole thing, and it didn't end up being like this crazy over the top scene. It felt very natural given the rest of the narrative. So my biggest fears were quelled. I mean, there were other issues with the film. The characters weren't that great, but overall, I'd say honestly, it was almost a little more enjoyable for me than Age of Ultron, which is saying a lot.
Whoa! So this year you would put that above Avengers 2.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Avengers 2 had some big issues, and one of the biggest issues you had with it was the disaster porn thing.
Yeah.
And Jurassic World suffered from some of the same stuff. I mean, the original Jurassic Park had, I don't think, any explosions. Jurassic World had tons of explosions. I'm like, why are dinosaurs exploding? It didn't really make sense to me, but there were tons of explosions.
Did Michael Bay sneak in?
Michael Bay snuck in, and he just, like, broke into the editing room, was like, more, more, more.
Explosion!
Yeah. But that was Jurassic World. I'd give that like a 7 out of 10. Inside Out, though, was just phenomenal. I'm sorry. Pardon me for ranting, but I got to talk about Inside Out. This movie was incredible. This is everything that a Pixar movie should be. It was funny. It was heartwarming. It was thought-provoking. It was exciting. And above all else, it was just a really entertaining film. And I think it had some really moving and interesting, imaginative ways of looking at thoughts, like human thoughts and emotions, and how they're created and how we cope with them, how they interact with each other. And it's like nothing you've ever seen before in terms of visualizing the mind and its processes. And to sum it up in one word, I don't throw this word around a lot, but I think the movie was truly beautiful. It was a fantastic movie, very heartwarming, very entertaining. That, for my money, best movie of the summer.
It's not the it wouldn't. What am I trying to say? Is that what am I trying to say?
Okay, so
I give a beautiful review, and that's what you got me. Thanks, Rich.
But just in the middle of it, I lost you. So wait, what is this again?
Inside Out, Pixar's Inside Out.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one with.
This is the one where they go inside.
All the emotions are people.
Right, where they visualize emotions as characters.
And it's really good.
It's very, very good.
All
right. Like I said, I don't throw the word around.
You're an expert on this whole animation and Pixar film.
I love animation and Pixar. This is the best Pixar film since, gosh, Toy Story 3 probably. And I would honestly, best movie this summer, I would give it a solid like 9.3 out of 10.
Wow.
It was phenomenal. I highly, highly recommend it. Voice cast is perfect. I really can't find any fault in it. It, other than being a little exposition heavy, but you have to because it's so abstract, the concepts they're dealing with. So,
all right, so there you go.
Jurassic Mike, World and Inside Out.
Mike's review at the movies.
Yeah. Sorry, I rambled a little bit, but these movies were really, really good.
All right, so there you go. Great. There you go. And that's my reaction.
There you go. All right. So, what were you up to this past weekend and 4th of July weekend?
Yeah, I was celebrating America. It's 4th of July weekend, all right?
Yeah.
We're not messing around here. America.
We're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers.
Yeah, all right. I celebrated America.
Yeah?
With drunkenness and barbecues.
Nice.
And fireworks.
Nice.
Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, all right.
You had a firework in one hand, a hot dog in the other hand, a hamburger in the other hand, a beer in the other hand.
That's a lot of hands.
Well, you're Goro from Mortal Kombat.
I would say more accurately, I had food in one hand, drinks in my right, in my other hand.
And fireworks in your toes.
I didn't know which hands was which. And the fireworks I left to the professionals because I don't want to deal with fireworks personally.
Right.
I just want to see them.
Yeah.
I don't want any mishaps near me.
No, yeah, you don't want to lose a hand like Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah, oh. There are a lot of firework accidents. Yeah.
It's crazy. Just don't hold them in your hand.
Yeah.
Put them on the ground.
Light the firework.
Or a bottle or something.
Light the firework, run away.
Yeah, it is an explosive device, people.
I don't know why people think they're okay just standing there.
It's not going to burst into cotton candy and flowers.
Yeah.
What do you expect to happen?
It's not
right?
a snake. It doesn't lay a giant turd. It explodes in your face.
Oh, so you didn't have any explode in your face, though?
No, thank God.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I was safe and drunk. So
you're too drunk
out.
To handle fireworks.
Right. Yeah, right. That was the rule of thumb.
You couldn't get the lighter to the fuse even if you tried, right?
Yeah, right. So don't even put me near the fireworks. Everything worked out. So there you go.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, so that's what I did with my weekend. I was drunk for most of it. All right, let's move on to our first segment. You like that transition?
I love it.
Perfect.
I was pretty drunk. And first segment.
Yeah.
Gonna talk about alcohol.
It's America. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's launch into our first segment of news that we want to talk about. We call it the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep. Sports coming at you in your face.
There
Mike,
you
what do we got for the first story?
Well, speaking of America, national pride, Rich.
America.
That's right. Something big happened over the weekend. The U.S. women's soccer team beat Japan in the Women's World Cup.
Woo! Mamma mia! Yeah.
What is this guy? I think he's an Indian.
Right, that's right.
She's a human!
Woo! Yeah! America!
Yes!
We did stuff with soccer!
Yay! No, but I mean, this is a huge victory for the U.S. women's national team. They beat Japan in the Women's World Cup finals. You know, even to get more America on you, I saw a post over the weekend, a funny post of a bald eagle in front of an American flag, and the caption read, "The U.S. beats Germany and then Japan? That seems familiar."
Yeah, take that, Axis of Evil.
Yeah. Oh, but, I mean, this is pretty big for the U.S. Women's team.
Yeah, I mean, to have any sort of American team win in the soccer world is, like, unheard of.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, America's not really a soccer country, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Wow. So cold, Rich. Burr, it's chilly in here.
Yep.
But,
in all seriousness, it's great to see that the women's soccer team just won. They went out and defeated teams expected to lose to.
Yeah. From what I understand, Germany was very good this year, and we beat them. And Japan, you know, it was a rematch of the previous World Cup, so we're getting a little bit of payback there and finally winning against Japan in the finals. They crushed them 5-2.
Yeah, in soccer, that's like a blowout.
That's like if you're playing against the Patriots and they have deflated footballs.
Yeah, and it's the AFC Championship
AFC
game.
AFC Championship game. But no, this was a huge blowout victory in terms of soccer. But you know, the U.S. women's team is really dominant just all the time. I just found this out today. This is interesting, speaking to how dominant they've been. The U.S. women's team has finished in the top three in every single Women's World Cup.
No way!
I don't believe it.
It's true.
Wow.
Check Wikipedia.
Star
right
Wolf
there.
Can't believe it.
I know. I mean, that's that's the pinnacle of disbelief right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Star Wolf needs some fact checking on that.
Wikipedia, man. Wikipedia doesn't lie.
There you go.
Yeah, Wikipedia via Reddit. But so I don't really know anything about soccer. So that's really all I got, Rich.
All right.
Is that the
go.
Women's team won, and that as proud Americans over the 4th of July weekend, we're happy for them.
You're the man now, dog.
Yep. No, they're the women
they're,
now,
they're
Rich.
The women now, dog.
Yeah, update your sound clips.
You're the man now, dog.
Yep. So there you go. Good job, gals.
Yeah.
The good win. Good win, good championship.
Good job.
Also appropriate for the 4th of July weekend. Great timing.
Yeah, it was such a patriotic weekend.
All right.
But I know you're eager to get to this. I can tell you've been anxious. You even texted me earlier in the day, just a simple, I hate soccer. And I'm like, okay. I didn't realize you disliked the Women's World Cup that much. But apparently this isn't about the Women's World Cup.
No, not specifically the Women's World Cup. No, Mike.
No. But you do have some interesting news regarding soccer. Or not, I guess not interesting, but sort of something that ticked you off.
I don't know. Well, first off, this whole soccer hoopla, I find it very hard to believe that if the women's team, if the USA's actual women's team were not in the tournament, I doubt we'd have this much reaction to women's soccer.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we barely care about men's soccer in this country.
Right.
It's getting bigger, but not quite. I just think it's funny you refer to as like, you refer to the biggest sport in the world as hoopla.
No. Well, I mean, for us here in America,
yeah.
Soccer is just stupid. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know any soccer. I only know, like, two people who are through and through soccer fanatics.
Now, you see, I need to be careful because my family is the other way around. There are tons of soccer fans in my family.
Were they soccer? See, here's the thing.
Here's the thing. Some of them were soccer players.
See, here's the thing that pisses me off, all right?
What?
Like, what I mean by are they soccer fans, I mean like before any of the World Cup hoopla,
right.
Before any of the women's World
Cup. No, my family, there are some diehard soccer fans. They played it. They watch it.
Okay.
I mean, my younger cousin in particular was just going crazy about this. And I'm super happy for her that the women's team won.
Yes.
But personally, I don't get the soccer.
Right. So here's the thing that I'm angry about when it comes to soccer. All right.
The fair weather fans.
Yes, all right.
Well, that's true for any sport. I can't stand fair weather
fans. I walked into my office
right.
at my day job this morning. You would have thought everybody was Mr. Soccer. Like,
yeah,
everyone,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like they coach their like soccer teams on the weekend or something.
Yeah, all right. And I know for a fact that they don't because I didn't hear a single peep out of them about soccer this whole damn year.
Yeah, that's true. It's
yeah.
true. No, it is. It is true. It's true.
You know, so first off, let's face facts here, all right? Soccer is not popular in America. You can have the women's team win the World Cup. You can have the men's team win the World Cup. I don't care what happens. Soccer will never be popular in America.
I would ever say never,
it will never knock one of the big four sports off. It just won't.
It won't ever be as big as football or baseball.
The big four sports will always be NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL. It's just that's the way it
yeah.
is. I'm sorry. Soccer fans, you're going to have to deal with that.
It is true to a certain degree. Those sports are so entrenched here in the U.S. And the fact is that we don't perform that well nationally, you know, with our men's team. The women's team has been phenomenal, but the men's
yeah.
team is just
and I'm not trying,
not very
and
good.
I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to take away from the women's
But you
team.
Just can't stand the fair weather fans that jump on it and make it seem like they're the biggest soccer fans
yeah.
in the world
yeah.
1 week before the women's team wins.
Yeah. And then I walk into my office on Monday, and I'm like considered like, you know, what, you're not watching the women's soccer game? I'm like, no, I don't
well,
watch
you,
soccer.
Well, you should have turned around and been like, how much did you watch them before the World
yeah,
Cup?
Yeah, right.
You know?
You know, I don't really find soccer that enthralling. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, neither do I.
So
it's just one of those things.
So that was the first thing that got me pissed off about soccer today. This all happened today, too.
Oh, my gosh. You've had a rough day, haven't you?
Yeah. All right. And number two, and
okay.
this is kind of more personal for me.
Okay.
All right. A news story came out yesterday that Rory McIlroy, the defending champion of the Open and the PGA Championships, which are the last two majors of the year.
Yeah, we've talked about him before.
Yep. Was reportedly playing soccer with his friends over the weekend.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, a fun thing to do if you're an athlete and you have a couple friends that like soccer.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it's bad when the worst case scenario can happen.
Uh-oh.
And that is Rory McIlroy actually sustained a legitimate injury while playing soccer with his buddies.
Oh, that's not good.
And it could be pretty bad. The initial diagnosis is rupturing his ankle ligament.
Oh, that's...
And I'm just going to go on, you know...
That sounds pretty serious.
Rule of thumb. Yeah, anything that says rupturing a ligament doesn't sound too good.
No, it doesn't. You know, this isn't like a bruised shin or like, you know, a sprain or something. This is something ruptured.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
According to McIlroy's Instagram, he has a rupture of the anterior talofibular ligament.
Oh.
Whatever the hell that is.
So that's like an ACL, but not an ACL. It's like an ATL.
ATFL.
ATFL.
Is what the shorthand is.
I've never heard of that.
I don't know, but apparently it's bad.
Do football players get this? I know about injuries via football, Rich. Remember, everything has to be funneled through the lens of football for me.
For you.
Yes.
And soccer for Europe.
Yeah, soccer for Europe, yeah.
Oh, God.
We'll have to get a European correspondent to help us translate U.S. sports talk into soccer talk.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, this is just so the worst timing possible. Because
yeah.
McIlroy is set to try and defend his championship at the Open, which is going to be at the legendary St. Andrews course, the home of golf. It was supposed to be a great showdown between him and the rest of the field. You also have Jordan Spieth, who has won the last two majors and is climbing up the number one world golf rankings and has his eye set on Rory McIlroy's number one spot. And all because Rory was playing soccer. Dumb soccer.
I don't know if you could be mad at soccer.
I can. Take your own damned players. Don't take my golfers. All right? I don't have much.
Shouldn't you be mad at McIlroy for this?
I'm mad that soccer is this popular all over the world, and I just can't get it. I just can't. I don't understand it. I don't understand the thrill of running all up and down. The field is so massive.
The field is huge. It's so big.
I was never good at soccer when we played it in gym class.
Oh, the worst.
I hated watching it from the sidelines.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Unless you play it, it is incredibly dull. That's what I think, at least.
Yeah.
I feel like if you play it, there's, like, things you can look for. But not knowing anything about it, it's literally just pass, 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 run, pass, pass, pass.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't get into it.
Attempted shot, block, pass. Yeah.
Well, no, in the World Cup finals... There were 5-2. That was like an abnormality there.
Right. But that's a rarity. Yeah, that never
happens. That's the exception, not the rule. Yeah.
Right. I mean, most of the times you're looking at a 1-0 game, 2-0 game.
A 0-0 game.
0-0 tie. Oh,
let
shoot
me jump off a cliff.
Yeah. Shoot me in the face.
I used to see Rich watching soccer games with a gun pressed to his head. Score a goal. Score a goal.
Yeah.
I know
for a fact that I'm going to expect the tweets to come in that, oh, you watch golf. Well, guess what?
Well, you play golf.
Yeah.
Though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but you know what? Golf, I don't know. I feel like golf has weird, quirky rules and weird things can happen that you don't think of.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, but I get my dosage of golf from the podcast. I wouldn't actively seek it out.
Yeah.
You know?
See,
that's just me. No golf, no soccer. No tennis, just football, football, football. Goddamn sons of bitchin', FFFing football.
Yeah,
that's
your motto.
Me. That's
yes.
me. Yeah.
But so I don't know. I'm just.
But you're
tired
of
it. I'm
tired
of
it. What it is.
I'm tired of it. And the worst part is I know I shouldn't be. I should be happy. And
right.
And I'm trying not to take away anything from. You know, the women's soccer team, because this is obviously a great thing that they did. They won the World Cup, you know, rah-rah for them. But I don't know. I'm tired of it already. It's We're not even a week into it, and I'm done with it.
What do you mean not even a week into it? It's over.
Yeah, a week after that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you're talking about all the post.
Yeah.
You know, all the bandwagoners. Hype. Yeah, yeah.
All of the people that are going to run out and join a soccer club now.
That's what personally annoys me is not the soccer, but all the bandwagon fans. I've always been a big opponent of bandwagon fans. And I still to this day say, to bring it back to football, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan that doesn't live in the Dallas area and you happen to become a fan during the 90s, you are a liar, sir. And you do not deserve to be a football fan. I'm sorry. I have to bring it back to football because I very passionately feel the same way you do about fair weather fans and bandwagon fans.
Yeah.
It ticks me off.
So, yeah. So, first off, I'm already tired of all the soccer talk. Please, I don't know. Please help me.
I can tell you're very weary just from discussing soccer.
I'm done. And number two, I'm really sad that Rory McIlroy could possibly lose his number one world golf ranking slot because he played football over the weekend. He played soccer.
Oh, you called it by its official name. Yeah, oh, you must love it more than you let on, Rich.
No, I'm also
it's all a farce.
I'm looking at the news story here, and they refer to it as football because it happened over in Europe.
What's Europe?
They've only been the bastion of civilization for the last 1,000 years.
Single-handedly responsible for colonizing all the uncolonized corners of the world. What is that?
America!
America, yeah! Right.
Shut up! Go play with your little dinky white ball, alright? We're gonna have football over here in America.
That's right.
Baseball! Don't forget about baseball.
Yeah.
All right? That's a true sport.
That's a true American sport.
Yeah.
So American that we have a story about it.
Yeah. All right? Let's bring this back to real sports.
That's
talk.
Right. Real sports
Real
talk.
American sports
That's
talk.
Right. Nothing is more American than playing baseball and doing absolutely nothing.
Yes, which is exactly what David Ortiz did over the 4th of July holiday. This is amazing. So,
yeah, you're going to have to break this down for us.
Yeah.
What do you mean when we say David Ortiz did nothing?
All right. So when you you have the lineup, right?
Right.
The starting lineup in baseball.
Of course.
You can, as the manager, you can plug in whoever person you want at what position.
Right. I mean, obviously you're not putting a pitcher at, like, left outfield, but
you probably shouldn't do that.
No. But you could, hypothetically.
Yeah, you could. Well, just for an interesting little switch, the Boston Red Sox decided to put David Ortiz, who's usually the designated hitter.
Okay.
They put him in as first base.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
Put him in as first baseman.
I'm sure he's had experience catching and fielding, right?
Well,
a little bit.
Very little.
Very little?
Very
okay.
little.
Still, first base, he should be competent, right?
Yeah.
Average?
Average.
Okay.
We're looking more like
leaning
average.
Towards the south of average, right?
Yeah, right. But guess what? David Ortiz practically did nothing fielding at first base.
Okay. So what do you mean did nothing? It's pretty hard to do nothing at first base. That's where everyone runs. Right.
Right? Yeah.
They
when
run
you hit
in
a ball,
that direction.
Yeah. When you hit a ball, you got to run to first base.
You can't just take a shortcut to second.
Yeah. You can't run
straight over the pitcher's mound.
Yeah. That doesn't happen.
No. Oh, that's why I wasn't allowed to play baseball.
Shortcut card.
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen this before. He's cutting through the pitcher's
mound. It's a risky play. Let's see if it pays off. So yeah, he did nothing. What do you mean he did nothing?
All right. Well, first off, let me go over the definition of a put out.
Okay.
That's when a baseman is directly involved with getting someone out, tagging out, running to the base.
Right.
So stuff like that, catching the ball, stuff like that.
Right.
They're directly responsible for an out.
Okay.
That's called a put out.
Right. Makes sense.
Well, David Ortiz, as it stood ending the game on Sunday, David Ortiz did not have a single put out on his card.
That's crazy because, as we pointed out, when you hit the ball,
you're supposed to
you
run
directly at David Ortiz in this case.
Yes, he's playing first base.
So how the hell did he manage zero putouts?
Well, first off, the pitcher was on fire. Eduardo Rodriguez, he was lights out. He was doing very good. Two ground balls went to David Ortiz in the whole game.
Okay.
This is the only time David Ortiz had action fielding.
Those are the only two moments he had to do anything.
Yes.
And what did he do with those two moments?
The first time he picked up the ball, but then was too tired to run back to first base. So he let the pitcher run from his mound all the way to first base, threw the ball to the pitcher. The pitcher made the out.
I just picture him standing like 4 feet from the base and throwing it back to the pitcher. Oh, I don't get paid for this. I get paid to hit the ball, not catch it. What is this nonsense?
Here, you take it.
He like walks over to the pitcher. Here, can you take this for me? So that was one. What happened with the second one then?
The second one was a bunt attempt that the umpires called an out due to batter interference.
Okay.
So I guess the ball must have traveled down the line and the batter may have kicked it and they ruled it interference and that's an out, but not through Ortiz.
Right, right. He had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Well, you know, judging by the last one, he probably wouldn't have even gotten to the ball.
Yeah, possibly.
Somebody from the second deck would have run down and grabbed it before he got there.
To put it in layman's terms, this basically means that the Red Sox could have theoretically gone by without a first baseman in this game, and they would have been all right.
They should have tried that. They should have tried that. That would have been amazing.
But now, are you ready to really put this in perspective as to how weird this is?
Okay.
This marks the first time ever in the Red Sox history that a first baseman did not record a single putout in a game.
Red Sox history is very long.
Red Sox history, yes. We're talking about games that go all the way back to like 1890s.
The first time.
Yes.
Wow. So he did nothing and made history.
Yes.
That is the most American thing I've ever heard.
America!
America!
To put it in a time span, this is the first time that's ever happened in 17,867 games of the Red Sox Nation.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
17,867 games.
That's ridiculous. Wow. That's crazy.
And David
Ortiz,
I
can't even fathom that.
Yeah, and David Ortiz just did that by just sitting on his ass at first base.
Does he get an award? Is there some type of medal he gets? Like the Lazy Man Award. The medal is shaped like a recliner.
Easy Boy Award. Or
Easy
something.
Boy Award, yeah. Oh, man.
He gets a chair.
He could have just brought a chair to first base. That would have had more putouts than him by himself.
You've heard of an armchair quarterback?
There you go.
Armchair first baseman.
Perfect. Oh.
You take this.
You take this. He points to the pitcher. He's like, you, come here quick.
Oh man. By the way.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I just realized something.
Uh-oh.
I need to know who they faced off against, because that means the other team did not realize, hey, maybe we should hit the ball towards Ortiz. He's not doing anything.
He's not doing anything. He literally hasn't even moved. He's sleeping on first base.
He's falling asleep.
He's sitting in
the umpire.
On the umpire.
Yeah, he's just drooling over the umpire. It was the Houston Astros. What the hell are you guys doing,
Houston Astros? They're worse than David Ortiz.
What the hell? Hit the ball towards him.
Oh, my God. Did they lose?
Yeah. They lost 5-4.
The Astros, they lost?
Yeah. Boston won.
Jeez.
You guys are morons. Hit it towards the man that's falling asleep on the umpire. He's drooling all over the umpire at this point.
He's fluffing him like a pillow. Why would the umpire go along with that? It's like, okay, you look tired. You look all tuckered out, little guy.
I guess this is part of a strategy. I don't know.
Yeah. He's going to lull them into a false sense of security and...
So... Just an unbelievable stat I had to just pull out, because this was amazing when I saw this.
That is absurd.
First time in 17,867 Red Sox games that a first baseman did not record a single putout ever.
Wow. He's going to be in the history books forever.
Yeah.
For doing nothing. That's what I want.
Yes.
I want that.
He could have not been on the field Would it have mattered?
He could have been facing, he could have just stood there facing the opposite direction and been totally fine.
He could have ordered a couple hot dogs.
Yeah. He's chatting with you know, the guy that brings around the peanuts, you know?
Yeah.
He's sitting next to the ball girl back there and just chilling. Oh, man.
So, there you go. Had to bring that up. David Ortiz making history by doing nothing. Good job. What a crack team there.
America.
America. All right, now let's get to doing nothing and having it blow up in your face.
Yep, otherwise known as the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yep, that's correct.
So, tell us, what is the latest scoop on the Philadelphia Phillies? They're pretty good, right? No? Maybe? No? Not at all?
No, not at all.
Oh, so it's still bad.
Yeah, it's still bad.
How bad?
It's...
Very bad.
Eh.
They're dead last in the league.
Oh, well, that was a given. We knew that...
I know, I'm just looking at the standings. They're... Yeah, it's pretty sad.
We knew that this Phillies team was going to be horrible. Let's admit it. We all knew it.
So we knew they were going to be this bad, though.
That could be the problem. As of right now, heading into this week, the Phillies have a winning percentage of .333, which for those that are good with fractions, that means the Phillies are only winning one out of every three games.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
Considering there's 162 games. They can end up losing a hell of a lot of games.
Yeah. AccuScore is, as far as I'm viewing this, AccuScore is being fairly optimistic.
Really?
They are predicting that the Eagles, or the Eagles,
wow.
Sorry, the Phillies.
Freudian slip there. You don't have much hope for the next season, do you? nothing's looking up for Rich. Favorite golfer goes down. Soccer's popular.
No, God! No! God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah, let me tell you, if the Eagles lose 100 games, I'm really jumping off a bridge somewhere.
Everything's going to hell. Help!
Oh, boy.
No!
All right, so let me go back to this and try and read this right.
Okay.
All right, so AccuScore is being... What I would say, optimistic. They're predicting that the Phillies will have only 102 losses when the season is over.
Oh yeah, so optimistic.
Yeah.
Thank you, AccuScore. So generous.
But if you're looking at their winning percentage and their point and their progress, quote progress up to this point in the season, the Phillies are actually on pace to lose around 108, possibly 110 baseball games this season.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
And the reason why is because there's even worse baseball to come. Let's be honest. The trade deadline will happen after the All-Star break. You can bet your ass there's going to be a fire sale coming down the pike.
Yeah, I mean,
this team
why not?
Is going to be exploded.
Well, look, the reality of it is that this team probably needed to be blown up about 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, and they waited too long.
They did. They did. I mean, their window shut, and they just stood there looking out at it.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, maybe
Find another window. Yeah. Nope, it's a shack with just that one window, Rich. And they just keep staring at that trophy fading further and further into the distance.
No!
So,
hello, darkness, my old friend. Yeah. That's what I imagine. I just imagine the Phillies looking out the window as that song plays.
So, I mean, sure, AccuScore is being fairly optimistic with 102 losses. But if you're looking at the winning percentage this far into the season and the fact that after the trading deadline, the Phillies are going to have pretty much minor league players playing at a major league level.
Yeah.
We could be looking at around 108, 110.
Screw it. Let's just do 120.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Then we're getting into Mets territory. Oh, Christ.
Make it a nice even three quarters, you know?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Was that an air raid?
Yeah, that's how bad they are.
Oh, my God.
Sound a nuclear alarm.
Everybody hit the deck. They're blowing up the team.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That'll be, you know what? That'll be our sound effect when the Phillies trade away all their players. The Phillies are trading away everybody. Mike, watch out. They're going to try and trade you.
Oh, no. They trade the whole city.
They trade away fans. That's how bad they are.
They have like a fake giveaway. They have a whole bunch of fans show up and they just pack them up into a shipping container and move them to a different city.
Yeah.
But here's
congratulations, you're going to Miami.
Whoa, no. Not Miami.
They need fans in the seats.
They do. Well, we need fans in the seats too. God, if it gets much worse, we'll look like Miami. Let me ask you a question though. Do you think that they will trade away a bunch of players?
Oh yeah.
I mean, they haven't been the best managed team up to this point. So do you think they're going to do something logical, or do you think they're just going to keep going the crazy route?
Oh, they're going to go the crazy route, and it's going to be a fire sale. They're going to get rid of
everyone.
Anybody that even has any sort of remote value. That's what's going to happen.
They're going to get rid of the dishwasher.
Yeah.
They're going to get rid of, you know, just the peanut guy, everybody.
Do you like my brother-in-law who's the backup shortstop? Take him. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Here, take this kid that just grabbed someone out of the stands.
Take this ball boy. Here you go.
Yeah. They're going to try and trade other teams, other sports players. Like players from the Eagles. Like Chip Kelly, you want to get rid of anybody? Here, we'll take them and we'll trade them for you. They need it, I think. They're getting old, right? They're getting up there.
Yeah, this team.
They're battered. They're old. You know, the last World Series, that's well in the rearview mirror. You got to start rebuilding eventually, right?
Oh yeah. And it's been far too long now.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, this should have happened 2 or 3 seasons ago.
Oh, definitely.
Not waited this long.
Yeah. And in the meantime, the fans have had to suffer.
Yeah. You know?
That's the worst thing about it.
And there's probably going to be more suffering along the way.
Probably.
This is
probably be several more years until they're competitive again after they have to rebuild from nothing.
Yeah. But as for this season, I could see this getting very, very ugly, especially after the trading deadline. I don't know why IQScore has given us. That's how bad it is. I think 102 losses is optimistic.
Yeah, I know. That's really bad when triple digit losses is optimistic.
Yeah. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. You read IQScore, you're like, oh, wow. Something to look forward to.
So there you go. That's the state of Philly sports right now.
It's not all doom and gloom. It's just doom.
Please, for the love of God, help us. So, please, football gods. Basketball? No, we're not.
What are you talking about?
We don't have a shot in basketball.
Oh, you're asking for other sports to
help us? Because really,
it's just football.
The only hope is Eagles or probably not even Flyers.
There's always the U.S. Women's National Team.
God.
What else do you got, Rich? What else do you got? McElroy is injured. Chip Kelly's a lunatic. Basketball's basketball. Hockey's over.
Basketball.
It's the least favorite sport in America, I think. Other than soccer, I would put basketball next to last.
All right.
So just cheer for soccer, Rich.
No. There you go. That's the state of sports as far as we're concerned here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Just a no and a whimper.
Yeah. Dear God, help us here in Philadelphia. But you know what? I think this means that we're going to have to take a break and recover from a depressing sports sampler. But we will come at you with an exciting entertainment entree and a ridiculous non-fortune cookie odd news segment still to come. Don't go anywhere. There is much more of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And for that, we can be optimistic. We can have a smile on our face. Yes.
That's right. Always look towards the future. Always look on the bright side of life.
That's right. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A Pennsylvania's teen's family said that her sweet 16 party was going good until it was spoiled and soiled when an apparent airplane bathroom waste tank fell right on the girl's birthday party.
Oh, that's just nasty.
Joe Cambry of Levittown said that there were 40 people at his house for a party for his stepdaughter, and during the party, an apparent human waste container fell from the sky while some of the guests were in a pool playing horseshoes and eating in a barbecue style.
Why is the article written that way? Eating in a barbecue style? What does that mean?
Very official.
They weren't just eating, but in a barbecue style.
Yes. Barbecue style.
It's like Gangnam Style.
Open Gangnam Style.
Yeah, it could be. Wait. Barbecue style. Barbecue style. Barbecue style. Nom 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 ribs.
What'd you say? Om nom 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 what?
Ribs.
Ribs?
Yeah. Yep, I think that's going to be my theme song for summer 2015.
Open Gangnam Style. Yeah.
Here we go. Everyone.
Barbecue style. Barbecue style. Yum, yum, yum. Ribs. Barbecue style. Ribs. Open
Gangnam Style. There you go.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
That should be your song.
There you go. Summer 2015.
Barbecue style.
Barbecue style.
That's awesome. I don't even care about the story. I'm more interested in barbecue style.
Oh, yeah, we gotta talk about poop.
Well, barbecue sauce, poop, they're both kind of brown. Oh, that's gross. But I think it's hilarious that all this crap fell on them from the sky. It's basically like God taking a dump on them. God's just like, I see your birthday party.
Cambry said that the tent that he erected in the yard was the, quote, epicenter of the fecal impact.
The fecal impact. Makes it sound like, it just sound like a bomb was dropped on his house.
The fecal impact.
The fecal impact, yeah.
Hit a couple minutes after they cut the cake.
Oh, no. Was the chocolate
cake? The cake was ruined.
Nobody can tell.
Chocolate, yeah.
Close your eyes.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Now I'm starting to feel better. We moved on from the sports sampler.
And away from soccer.
Away from soccer, away from depressing Philly sports. And instead we're gonna look towards the future, which is our next segment, which is the always exciting and the always fun to talk about, entertainment entree!
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Speaking to me sometimes in tongues.
Woo! Happy birthday, Mike!
Oh, thank you. Like music to my ears or in my head.
Yes,
all the voices.
I assume that's what's happening in your head all the time.
All the time.
Just all that, yep, just going on.
It's a hectic place, I'll tell you. It's a miracle I can say anything that makes sense.
That's right.
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
So, there you go, Mike. I just want to give you another... another sword.
Another reminder. Not only do I have it in my head, but now you're playing it back for me.
Yes.
So, imagine that times two. It's crazy.
All right. Well, you want me to get you focused?
Yeah, let's get focused.
Okay, here you go.
I love this.
Dickle. I don't know why you love playing that so much.
Just for you, Mike.
Such a bitch.
I love this.
Dickle. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two of my more infamous quotes.
There you go.
I cannot escape the soundboard.
You cannot escape the tickle.
Tickle. Oh God. This is like a giant monster chasing me.
Just for you, Mike. All right. Well, speaking of stuff that's for you, it's time for your dose of what we should keep an eye on this weekend. It's a good way to start off the entertainment entree. It's called This Week in Entertainment.
Tickle.
All right, Mike.
There we go. We're kicking it off with not a tickle, but some movies. Tickle. There you go.
Yes, excellent.
First up, that fucking sucked. Well, no, this one doesn't suck. According to Metacritic scores, Tangerine coming out this week, a new dramedy, currently has an 88 on Metacritic. This one's getting some serious buzz right now. It's got a really out there plot. It's about two transgender prostitutes who try to track down one woman's boyfriend who cheated on her. So this is a really out there plot, but it's getting a lot of great press right now. So definitely go check out Tangerine if you're into the more out there type movies. If you want something a little more mainstream though, something the whole family can go see, go check out Minions. This is a Despicable Me spinoff featuring those little yellow things, you know, have you ever seen Despicable Me with the little yellow guys? Yeah. So it's a whole movie about them. So, you know, I've seen the trailers. It looks really adorable and fun and lighthearted and family friendly and fun. So I think I said fun twice because it's extra fun. Go check out Minions opening this week.
Yeah, it's a good series. So.
It is. I enjoyed the first Despicable Me. The second one was all right. I don't know how Minions will do, but the kids love it. So, it's great to take the whole family to.
Yep.
In terms of TV, though, this is probably something the kids shouldn't watch. On FX, we have The Strain. This is a horror action drama, sci-fi. It's about a doctor who gets called in to solve this strange viral mystery, this outbreak that causes a mutation that's similar to vampirism. It actually stars Corey Stoll, who played Senator Russo from House of Cards.
Yeah, he's been getting a lot of traction lately. He was also in Nonstop with Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's great. He was excellent in House of Cards, of course. He's very good in The Strain. This is another one of FX's shows. You know, they're trying to make a push to be more like AMC recently. So if you're interested in the sci-fi action horror stuff, go check out The Strain. Finally, in video games, a new month means new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. PlayStation 4 this month has 4 free games, so make sure you go check them out. One of which is Rocket League. Speaking of soccer, Rich, this is crazy stunt car soccer. Basically, you play as rocket-powered cars that can do flips and jumps, and you have to knock a giant soccer ball into huge nets. You can drive up walls, fly through the air, use special abilities. It's crazy. The whole PlayStation 4 subreddit is abuzz with how wild and wacky this game is. It features both local and online multiplayer modes. So it's a lot of fun for you and a couple of buddies. Go check out Rocket League coming out for PlayStation 4 this week. And one last thing. This is a big one, Rich, that you're going to this upcoming week.
Yeah, Foo Fighters are playing 2 shows. They already played their first one at Susquehanna Bank Center. but they are playing a second show Monday, July 13th, and I'm going to it, and I'm stoked. I love Foo Fighters. I love Dave Grohl. I can't believe I'm going to go see them.
They are phenomenal, and he's playing on a broken leg.
Yeah.
The man is a champion.
I thought when I heard the news that he broke in his leg overseas, I thought that was going to be the postponement. I thought, oh my God, they're gonna postpone the tournament. I'm gonna lose my tickets to go see Foo Fighters. Oh. But no, he's
toughing it out.
Yeah, soldier.
He's a warrior,
rock and roll soldier.
He is a rock and roll king, a soldier.
Yeah, and he's gonna play. He's sitting on a throne, which is awesome, like a throne of guitars and lights.
Nice.
But he's gonna do it. So if you're not doing anything Monday, why not check out tickets? I think there are still a few remaining for lawn seats. Other than that, you're going to have to try and buy them off of other vendors for the ones up close. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm so excited. Foo Fighters coming to Susquehanna Bank Center again for a second show, and I'm going to it. So.
Awesome. I'm sure we'll get the full recap on that week's podcast, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right. Looking forward to it. And that wraps up this week in entertainment.
Alright, Mike, thank you for this week in entertainment. Let's get to our first subject here in the entertainment entree, one that you picked out.
I did.
Because I can't believe
this
is...
Just for you, Rich.
Yeah, just for me. I can't believe you found this story. Allegedly, a production company is going to try and make a James Bond musical.
That's
Mike,
right.
Do you have details on this?
I do. Mary Saltzman, the daughter of Bond film producer Harry Saltzman, is bringing Bond to the big stage, Broadway. Placeholder Productions Company has secured the rights to a stage show, and they're going to call it simply James Bond the Musical. It's going to have music and lyrics from J. Henry Weiss, and a book by Dave Clark. Apparently, the musical will have an original storyline, something completely new. It will feature, get this, several Bond villains, so multiple Bond villains, plus some brand new ones, and the inclusion of a brand new Bond girl. Production has not yet started, but they're hoping that it will release sometime in late 2017 or early 2018. And of course, it's expected to premiere on Broadway. So, Rich, I know you're a big fan of James Bond.
I love James Bond.
You also like musicals.
I love musicals. Yes, I do.
Just brought me a Phantom of the Opera disc. I'm really excited for that. Love Phantom of the Opera. Will you be going to see James Bond the musical? Is this something you can get behind?
If this comes to fruition, yeah, I'm down. I'll go.
But what are they going to sing
about?
I don't know
what exactly you're going to be able to make into song.
Yeah, I mean, will James, instead of the villain monologuing, will the monologue be a song and dance? Like, James Bond, I got you now. Let me take my final bow. My laser will cut into your willy.
Wow.
I couldn't say the other word I wanted to say, so I had to fix it on the fly. And then James Bond will be like, my name is James Bond. I'm Sean Connery. I don't know.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Is it going to be like its own Bond, or are they going to try and...
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. They have no casting announcements yet, so I don't know what type of Bond they're going to go with. This could literally go a million different ways.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much up in the air with the idea of this.
Do you think song and dance fit in with the James Bond, like, tone and world? Do you think there's room in there for it? I mean, some James Bond has lighthearted elements
there
to
are,
it.
There are lighthearted James Bond movies.
Right.
See the Roger Moore ones.
But at its heart, it's all espionage, though, and action.
Yeah, but there's also, you know, the one-liners that you can get
away
with in musicals.
The witty quips and... You know, the romance scenes, of course, you know, yeah. That would play well on musical. Bond is like looking longingly at the Bond girl and he's like, I will save you, octopussy. I don't know. That's a villain, isn't it?
I love how you're coming up with these Bond musical songs on the spot.
Well, I have to reveal that I'm actually the writer. No, I'm kidding. I would love, actually, no, I wouldn't because I wouldn't know where to begin. You should be the writer.
Yeah, but
I'm not
good with songs. I don't know.
I'll help you with the songs. Oh, God. My name
is 007. Come with me. You'll be in heaven.
Hey, there you go.
That's the best I can come up with.
Let me give you my golden gun. It'll be lots of fun. I think we're on to something here.
Yeah.
I think the producers should listen to this podcast. Let me tell you, if they come out with a song called Golden Gun is Lots of Fun, I'm going to be super pissed.
Yeah. If they rhyme golden gun with fun,
yeah,
we need to sue them for $5 or something.
$5?
Like one lyric.
one lyric.
You stole one lyric from us.
Yeah, we own the copyright to all the words that rhyme with gun.
No. Specifically gun and fun.
Oh, just gun and fun.
If they rhyme gun with fun, they owe us $5.
You got hot buns. They could rhyme a lot with gun, though.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think this could either be very interesting and unique, or it could go the way of like the Spider-Man musical and just flop horribly.
Yeah.
Do you think fans would be receptive to this?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, the Bond franchise has very open fans. I don't see what would be an avenue against it. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to give it a shot, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. You got to give it a shot. So I mean,
Bond was made into a video game, and people thought, would it work as a video game? And then they made GoldenEye, and that was a smash hit.
You see, that argument now seems so foreign to me because there have been so many James Bond video games.
Right, now it does.
Right.
But when they first had a James Bond game, which I think was for, like, the Game Boy.
Game Boy?
I don't know. I think that's the very first James Bond game was on Game Boy, and it was just, like, a casino game. They were like, is this really going to be a thing? Are we really going to have James Bond video games? And then they slapped GoldenEye together. And there you go.
So, is this really going to be a thing?
You never know.
We're going to have James Bond musicals every year.
Well,
there's like 28 films, isn't there? There's like a ridiculous number of films. They churn out one every 2 or 3 years.
23.
Oh,
that's
pretty close.
Yeah. The new one.
Spectre,
thank you.
Yep.
Spectre will be 23.
Oh, yeah, because they called it Bond 23.
Yeah.
I remember now, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that at the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple have been very good. So all signs are pointing to the new one, Spectre, being very good as well.
Yeah, I don't have anything against the musical.
Yeah, and hopefully it follows the same trend of high quality writing and performances as the movie counterparts.
Yeah, so I'd be down for it.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
So,
yeah.
There you go.
Well, they're going to have that line in there, definitely.
The name's Bond, James Bond.
I'll have a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something that rhymes with Bond, and I couldn't think
Bond.
Of it.
Bond. I am fond of your boobs.
All right, Mike being direct, no.
That's what James Bond is all about,
Boy
right?
Man.
Women and spies.
Not very subtle, Mike.
No subtlety. Straight to the point. Just like James Bond. He's got to get right in there. In more than one way. Make that right. A song,
okay.
People.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, come on.
Let's
go. That would be a great song. That would be a great song.
Just look at your boobs.
This is just a whole song about breasts. They drop a huge pear from the ceiling. Is that like the chandelier in Phantom? It's just boobs? All right. So, yeah, James Bond musical in the works. Coming out sometime late 2017 or early 2018. Keep your eyes peeled for that one. It's going to be a hoot. I think it's going to be very, very
interesting.
Look
at your cleavage.
Rhyme cleavage.
Let me think of something. Maybe you could give me some heavage. I don't know.
Heavage?
I don't know.
Let me see the heavage of your cleavage. Wow.
Do some heavy heavage.
There you go. Amazing. Maybe you need to take a little break from working on that script there, Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the soccer.
It's all the soccer. It's got you so messed up, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe this next topic will set your mind right. Sort of a little bit of an inflammatory statement here made by film legend Dustin Hoffman. He recently gave an interview in which he had some pretty interesting quotes. He said regarding television versus movies, he said, quote, "I think right now television is the best that it's ever been, and I think that it's the worst that film has ever been. In the 50 years that I've been doing it, it's the worst." That fucking sucked. It's basically what he's saying. But the question is, I mean, the big question, does he have a point? First, what do you think is better right now, television or film?
Oh, well, the answer is television, without a doubt.
Definitely think television?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Television, first off, with original content that Netflix is producing and...
Do you count Netflix as television,
yeah,
though? You do?
Yeah, the format is the same. Episodes.
That's true.
You're not making movies into episodes.
It's still a little bit of a gray area, though.
No, House of Cards, it's a TV show.
Okay. Yeah.
It has episodic content. That's really right. A TV show.
Okay. But I mean, is TV shows just defined by episodic content specifically?
That's the way I would view the definition of a TV show.
Television is a device, though. I mean,
but the format is the fact.
I mean,
that
we associate episodic content with television, but does episodic content necessarily mean television?
I think so. Yeah, because okay. you don't release movies that way.
No,
I mean,
no,
it,
you don't.
You can't. The movies are too long to have, you know, a certain time interval for episodic content.
Right. Okay.
There's just too much that goes into the production of a movie.
But, you know, even Netflix out of the argument, look at AMC and HBO recently.
They've been.
And even, you know, FX has been pushing with their shows like Louis and.
They've been having great shows.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of TV has seen much larger productions. You know, I'm thinking like TNT. I watched the show Falling Skies. I mean, they have aliens and explosions. I mean, this is television, the production values that would normally be reserved for for Hollywood and, you know, feature length productions.
Can I go to one of my favorite TV shows?
Sure.
Look at True Detective.
Right.
Look how just instrumental that was in the rebirth of the McConaughey's. All right. Matthew McConaughey.
You are all about the McConaughey's.
I love it. He was viewed as just, you know, just a washed up actor who was doing the same role in the same movies and it was getting stale, right? And then he goes to True Detective and he just wows everybody. And all of a sudden he's playing in new roles with Mud and Dallas Buyers Club. I mean, that was just awesome.
Yeah, well, I'll
and now with the second season of True Detective, you got Colin Farrell, Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn is, you know, reinventing himself too right now.
I mean, television is a place where you can be reinvented, and that's just so great.
Television
and so fresh to see.
Yeah, television definitely is a place of innovation. I'll give you another one from HBO. I know you personally haven't dabbled in this one, but Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. You know, if you had told me, you know, before Game of Thrones came out that a station was planning on doing a high fantasy political drama with a cast of hundreds of characters, I'd be like, okay, sure, right. High fantasy on television? When's the last time you've seen high fantasy on television?
Never.
Right? But Game of Thrones made it viable. Game of Thrones made fantasy a viable television genre. Look at shows like Band of Brothers, who brought, you know, war dramas back to television. When that came out on HBO, I guess 15 years ago-ish?
Yeah,
I can't remember when that came out. And, you know, AMC, of course, with all of its shows. I mean, look at how influential and important The Walking Dead is. I mean, they draw 18 million viewers a week when The Walking Dead is airing on AMC. We haven't seen numbers like that in television unless it's, you know, basic networks, you know, reality shows. You know, it's unheard of for cable.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about, let's look at the last 5 years. You're talking about shows like Mad Men, Breaking Bad, The Newsroom.
Newsroom, yes.
I mean, there's just so many quality TV shows that have come out in the last 5 years. It's just been astounding.
Yeah, yeah.
Homeland. Homeland, a lot.
Yeah.
Tell me this. When you go into your Netflix queue, do you have TV shows to watch or more TV shows to watch or more movies to watch?
Well, that I have about an equal number. I get what you're saying, that there's a lot more television offerings.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always behind on my television because there's
Orange is the New Black is one that I gotta.
Yeah, so many TV shows to watch that are really good.
Yeah, well, let's go to the flip side. Let's talk about movies. Something I mentioned earlier that you mentioned several weeks ago when we talked about the Avengers: Age of Ultron. A big problem with movies is the destruction porn.
Yeah, that's what I call it, the destruction porn.
The destruction porn. And one of my biggest complaints about Jurassic World recently is, and this is a big complaint about movies in general now, is that once the action starts, it's nonstop, pedal to the metal for the next hour and a half. And it becomes tiring. You know, when I go back to the original Jurassic Park, it was a slower film that had quieter moments. Look at a movie like, you know, I hate to throw this one out there because it's so stereotypical, but The Godfather. Look how slow-moving and brooding that film is. Something like that would never be made today, I feel like.
Yeah, because you'd probably get, like, the call from, like, executives that, like, hey, this movie's moving too slow.
Yeah, that's not to say movies like that aren't being made, but there's less of them, I think. Now, that's not to say there aren't innovative films coming out. I think what Marvel is doing with their cinematic universe, even though some of the films aren't going to go on to be legends of film, I think it's very risky and innovative what they're trying to do with a connected universe. I think that is a good piece of innovation right there. Pixar continues to push the bounds with, you know, their latest picture Inside Out. I mean, there is still wonderful films being made. But I will say this, that when I make the list for this week in entertainment, this is just me personally, and I'm looking at the different movies and TV shows, I really struggle sometimes to find movies that are worthwhile talking about. And I feel awful when I bring up a movie like Terminator Genesis, then it goes on to flop, just because when I look at IMDb, there's literally nothing coming out with a Metacritic rating higher than 40. And that's just what I've noticed in casual browsing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that television is having its heyday right now.
It definitely is.
But it's not all doom and gloom. Unlike Philly sports, it's not all doom and gloom for movies. Because there are some bright spots.
The
resurgence of the superhero movie, despite the destruction porn, I think is still one of the bright spots of the big screen. I still am using Christopher Nolan as who has just never made a bad film.
That's true. And Christopher Nolan is a great example of how you can blend artistry with content that the masses will enjoy. Like, look at Inception, right? That's a really far out there plot and narrative, right?
Yeah.
But it's also something that a lot of people can get behind and spend a lot of money on. It's this perfect balance between creating a serious piece that deals with interesting, thought-provoking, artistic ideas, but it's still something that is available for the masses. You know, it's not like an indie art house, like, weird film, but it's also not Transformers.
Yeah.
It's a middle ground. You know, look at Interstellar, same thing. Look at Gravity, same thing. There's still a lot of great movies coming out. I think the issue is that it's becoming riskier and riskier for movie studios to make those types of movies.
Yeah.
Whereas television offers a lot. Television, I feel, is a little more forgiving.
Yeah, and it's also more riskier for the actors. And I think that's why Dustin Hoffman has been more vocal about this. He's actually in a new Netflix. I think he's in a new Netflix series coming up. And, it's easier to to have a couple of things that aren't perfect about your series
right.
be washed away on a TV series than it is on a film.
Definitely. And just when you look at it from sheer numbers, cost of the production costs are, I think, much less for television shows. Maybe not so in the long run, but episode to episode, they're not as great as multi-million-dollar, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars being put to something like The Avengers, you know?
Yeah. That's another thing, too, is the movie studios. If a movie doesn't hit a certain threshold in the box office gross total, it's deemed a failure, and you're probably never going to get away with creative freedom ever again.
Terminator Genesis, they're already throwing around the term flop.
Yeah.
I mean, it made $30 million. That's a flop. I mean, I would love to have $30 million. But the fact is, they probably spent like $200
million on it. Yeah, they probably spent $30 million on Arnold's contract.
Probably, yeah.
And give me the money!
Give me the money now! Wow! But, you know, that goes to the idea of the risk is so much greater for film. But I, you know what, though? I disagree with Hoffman. I wouldn't say that it's the worst it's ever been.
Okay.
I think there's still great movies coming out. I really do. Like, I just saw Inside Out, and I'm telling you, that was a great movie. I feel like he's falling into the same issue as Danny Boyle, who we talked about a year ago, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He talked about how there's no more adult films. I think that's BS. I think that if you think that way, you're just not looking hard enough, and you're not appreciating what's out there, personally. Right. I still think there's great movies out there. We just talked about Gone Girl earlier. That was a fantastic movie.
Yeah, we were talking about that during the break. Yeah Gone
little,
Girl.
A little
was
confusing, but great.
Yeah.
You know, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was a good movie.
Christopher Nolan is still out there. Yeah. You know? I mean, a couple years ago, Steven Spielberg put out Lincoln, right? I mean, there's still great movies being made.
Martin Scorsese is still around?
Martin Scorsese is still around. I mean, you know, if maybe there's fewer of them, but I think that's just the culture. You know, there's fewer TV shows, too. You know, we talk about a lot of great TV shows, but when you list them, there's fewer than I think, you know, compared to the thousands of channels out there. It's a very small subset. The vast majority of TV is also crap.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right?
I mean, yeah, reality shows is a big part of that.
I mean, the big networks. I mean, tonight on TV, I guarantee you, it's only singing and dancing shows. I would wager $100 on that on network cable, on network TV right now, the big four, it's only singing and dancing or some type of, you know, competition show.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, the singing and dancing is going to end soon. I mean,
well, American Idol.
Yeah, you're going to have American Idol
once
close
that
down. I'm sure so.
I don't know about
the
Voice. The Voice is going.
We'll go soon.
The Voice is very strong. I've never watched it because I hate it. But from what I understand, it's very popular.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So was American Idol, right?
Right.
And American Idol had what, like 30 million viewers? This past year they
crazy.
Had 8.
Yeah.
8 million. 30 to 8. That's a big drop.
Yeah. So I would say we're not in terms of Philly sports, movies haven't hit that yet. So
no.
There's
no.
Still a bright side.
There is definitely still a bright side.
And as for television, I love all the TV shows that are going on right now.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
But the main thing to take away is there's something there for everyone.
That's right.
Television or movies, there's so much content out there for you to enjoy.
Right. So cheer up. Come on.
Yeah.
Cheer up, Dustin Hoffman.
The best piece of content to enjoy, though, is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, because we've just gone through the Sports Sampler and the Entertainment Entree. But coming up, we will have the wacky and just out of the ordinary non-fortune cookie odd news. I got a couple of interesting stories that you got to hear. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Thieves made off with a full tractor trailer filled of shredded mozzarella cheese bound for a Hungry Howie's Pizza distribution center in Central Florida.
Why?
Would you like to take a guess at how much cheese that's worth?
Oh, God.
$85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
The truck was officially reported stolen on Sunday. It's on the loose right now in Florida. Someone has $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
What were they planning to do with the cheese?
You can't exactly sell that on the black market, you
I can just picture people on like street corner. Hey, want some mozzarella? I mean, can you buy street cheese?
Street cheese?
Yeah, like street drugs, street cheese.
This is the good stuff.
Oh, man, I got some hardcore mozzarella here. They, like, snort it. Oh, man, people are, like, hooked on mozzarella.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got that mozzarella?
You got that mozzarella?
Oh, boy.
Why'd you turn to Mickey Mouse there at the end?
He's in Florida, right?
Yeah, he is. I need some more of that mozzarella cheese.
Mickey Mouse has a drug addiction to stolen mozzarella cheese.
I can't run the park without my mozzarella cheese. Goofy, you got some more? Of course, Mickey. I don't have any mozzarella.
Oh, boy. You need to get me that dime bag. You don't give me that dime back, I'm going to blow your effing head off.
I'm the one who knocks.
Yes.
I would now want to see a Breaking Bad and Mickey Mouse crossover where they're dealing mozzarella cheese.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
You think that of me? I am the danger.
Say my name.
Yes. Say my name.
Mickey Mouse.
You're goddamn right.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking out late at night, recording the show, making sure you get it ready every Thursday. The Crispy Noodle Podcast, always ready to go for you with our sports sampler, Entertainment Entree, and our next segment, that will be our odd news. But before we dive right into it, we're going to add a third person onto the show.
Uh-oh.
I've been liking this. He's been joining us at the end of the shows lately.
Yeah.
It's our associate producer, John Bruno. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good.
We've been chugging along so far, and glad to have you on board. You joining us for the non-fortune cookie odd news?
Yes, I am.
All right. All awesome. Right.
Awesome, yeah.
You're very right to the point. It's good.
Yes.
He all brings right. a good deadpan sort of humor to the odd news, I think.
Yeah, all right.
You're goofy, I get angry, and he's deadpan. I like it. I like the combination.
All right. Well, then I can't wait to hear your reactions for this week's stories. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Future's already here, get a beer.
That's right. You're going to enjoy a nice cold one while you're listening to the non-fortune cookie odd news. For those of you that don't know, here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I and John Bruno react to the news. We have no idea what he's got. Rich keeps these stories secret and hidden from us. So these are our first time hearing the stories. It's our gut reactions. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because sometimes these stories take us down wacky and wild paths.
That's right. You know what? Before we get into the first story, Bruno,
okay.
have I showed you this sound clip of your brother?
Oh, God.
I love this.
Tickle. Such a jerk.
I've heard that a few times.
There you go. All right, good.
I just wanted
to make sure. I wanted to double check.
You guys. It was my birthday, damn it. Can I get just one moment?
Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you. I'll never live that one down. Never. Not in a million hundred episodes. But that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah. All right, how about we go right into the first story? How about that, Mike?
Let's do it.
Will that make you happy?
Yes, that will make me incredibly happy. Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. Our first story is a local story.
Oh, God. Kicking it off with one of these already.
I know. A Philadelphia man robbed a New Jersey bank 4 months after he was released from prison for robbing that same place 5 years earlier.
Why go back? Choose a different bank. There's millions of them. They're literally everywhere. There's one like 2 minutes from my house. Then there's another one, another 3 minutes from my house. Then if you keep going further down the road, there's one 5 minutes from my house. You literally could have gone to any bank.
He had something to prove.
This is so bad.
So what, you think he goes and you're like, you guys caught me the first time? Well, not again.
Yeah,
that's right. That's exactly what he did.
Authorities said that 54-year-old Keith Ney entered the Cape Bank.
Cape?
Yeah, Cape.
Is this a bank for capes?
Yeah, like
a superhero villains? Bank.
No, this would be for villains.
Oh, villains, sorry. Yeah. Wait, only villains wear capes.
Oh.
So what about Batman, Rich?
Sorry, yeah, wait, they do wear, I don't know.
A real hero like Spider-Man only wears spandex.
I was thinking of Larry David in Seinfeld, where he has the cape, and they're like, what is he, a super villain? He's like walking down the street with a cape.
The cape.
Yeah.
Who wears a cape in real life?
Right.
That's so weird.
Right. They say a villain. I don't know. That's what I thought of.
Okay.
But you're right. Anyway, let's get back to the story. Authorities said that 54-year-old Keith Ney entered the Cape Bank in Atlantic City and gave a teller a note that said he had a gun. Prosecutors said that he stole an undisclosed amount of cash. As Ney was fleeing on foot, boy, that's...
Didn't even have a car.
Yeah, you might want to have a car.
Did he walk straight there from prison? Took him 4 months to get back there.
As Ney was fleeing on foot, a bank employee approached a police officer on traffic detail and said that the bank had been robbed. Ney was immediately spotted and taken into custody. He was still on supervised release, so whoever's PO officer sucks.
Yeah, really. Oh, so you know what really sucks though is that he said he has a gun. Isn't that like armed robbery?
Yeah.
That ups the seriousness of the crime substantially.
Yeah, he now faces up to 20 years in prison if he's convicted on his charges, and he could face an additional 2 years for violating the terms of his supervised release.
I like how they just tack the 2 years on to the end.
Yeah, 20 plus two.
20 plus two. That's a lot longer than his initial 5-year stint.
Yeah. So, dumb person. I don't know why he had to go back to the same bank.
The same bank. Maybe that's the only bank he knows how to get to.
You didn't see one on the way to jail or like on SEPTA?
I guess not. So he lives in Philadelphia and he went all the way to Atlantic City to rob a bank.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It just seems really strange to me. Why go all the way to Atlantic City? Why don't you just stop like right over the bridge?
Maybe he thought he could get away. Or, I don't know.
He went there on foot. How is he going to get away? I know. I'll go to a different state and I'll rob it on foot. I'll make a quick getaway.
I'll fly
away. Running the hour and a half back to Philadelphia.
Fly away with my cape.
Yeah.
Steal.
Maybe he thought that's what it was. He was going to steal a cape and fly away.
Yeah.
I mean, criminals, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Logic. All right, ready for our next story?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, well, here's an uplifting story with a bumpy ending. Canadian police said that a man named Daniel Berea took to the skies Sunday in a lawn chair with 110 helium balloons attached to it.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I thought the Mythbusters did that and they proved it wasn't possible.
Well, this guy did it.
Oh, my gosh.
Berea, who told Canadian police that he used to be a skydiver, planned the stunt to advertise his cleaning products.
Why? Wait, what?
Yep.
Does that make any sense to anyone?
He said that he intended to drop in on Calgary's Stampede, which is an annual 2-week rodeo fest, from the air.
What? What does this have to do with cleaning? What's he cleaning? Cows? A rodeo? What's that, a rodeo? Horses and bulls?
Yeah.
What type of cleaning is he promoting? He's just dropping in and start talking about Windex?
I guess he's going to like clean the rodeo guys' outfits and stuff when they get messy. He's going to fly in and...
And just like start scrubbing everyone?
Yeah.
He's going to fly in with like a toothbrush and just start scrubbing away?
Yeah.
Didn't we have a story about a guy flying on a chair once, actually, now that I think about it?
Yeah.
It's in one of our best of episodes,
right,
isn't
yeah.
it?
The man had like a... Had like supplies and stuff.
Supplies, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he like crashed, or he went too high, so he threw away the supplies.
Yeah.
Did this guy bring supplies with him?
Just his cleaning supplies.
Just his cleaning, you know, the essentials, right?
Yeah. Just in case I need to clean something in the air before I land. That bird looks dirty. Let me go clean him off.
I mean, what type of supplies would you bring on a lawn chair balloon flight?
Food.
Food, okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Maybe some in-flight entertainment, like a movie.
Like a movie?
Yeah, please.
So you're bringing like a portable DVD player?
Yes, I wanted to have, it'll be on a swivel and I want it to be right in front of me and then I can, you know, watch a movie as I fly overhead everybody.
Nice.
So he intended to drop in on Calgary's Stampede, which is an annual 2-week rodeo fest, from the air. However, the weather didn't cooperate. Berea told Calgary police that the strong winds pushed him off course, forcing him to parachute into a field about a mile from the grounds.
They just gave up.
Yeah. The publication reports that the balloons and the chair were found later in the evening. Although the stunt didn't go as planned, Boria said that, quote, it was the most fun thing I've ever done. Unfortunately, though, his stint did not go unnoticed. People snapped photos of a lawn chair in the air, and the police knew that something was up. They arrested him on Sunday and charged him with mischief causing danger to life.
What?
That's one thing. And mischief causing damage to property before releasing him later that night. So he has two different mischief charges.
Mischief?
Yeah.
That's a charge.
Yeah, in Canada it is. Yep.
In Canada.
Yeah.
Okay.
In America, we give that man a medal.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true.
America. We
probably would give him a medal.
Yeah.
Wussy Canada.
Come on down.
I apologize. I think our relatives in Canada listen to the show, JB.
Sorry.
There's this.
The man was flying with balloons.
I know. That's like a true American dream right there. Yeah. They made a whole movie about it. It's called Up. Right? Yeah. He knew how to do it right. He brought a whole house with him.
He would have gotten his own movie deal, his own book deal.
Yeah. If only he had stuck the landing.
Yeah.
He had to parachute out. I really want to know about the cleaning supplies.
Yeah. He's going to promote his cleaning supplies.
Like, I mean, here's the thing. You're trying to think of an ad campaign, right, for your cleaning supplies. You're like, I know. I'll fly a chair with balloons attached to it. Where I don't see the connection. I don't get it.
I guess he was going to come down to that rodeo fest and, like, clean the rodeo riders.
Did he okay this with the rodeo?
No. They weren't expecting this. Nobody was expecting this.
Doesn't that seem dangerous to you? I guess that's why he got charged with mischief of danger or whatever the heck you said. Danger of life.
Yeah. Mischief.
Mischief.
Mischief, mischief. It was mischief causing danger to life.
Whose life? His?
I guess. And then mischief causing damage to property. So.
All right.
Two mischief charges.
Oh, those mischievous Canadians.
Yeah.
Always acting out.
All right, how about we get into some good old-fashioned Florida stories next couple ones? How about that?
Let's do it.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, I got three Florida stories.
Okay, that's a nice big Florida segment.
Yep. Let's do this first one here. An 81-year-old man was arrested last week after he exposed his genitals at a bus stop, deputy said.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's Florida for you.
Yep. J.D. Gordon was arrested Friday on one count of lewd and lascivious behavior involving a victim under 16 years old.
I love that. Whenever you mention it, lewd and lascivious behavior.
Yeah.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Yeah, that's basically all I know about that word.
According to an arrest report, two women and two girls, ages 14 and 12, were in the parking lot of a nearby laundromat and saw Gordon's genitals.
Oh, not good.
Yeah. Authorities said that Gordon tried to leave on a city bus, but a responding deputy ordered him off the bus. Boy, another great getaway. Let me get back on the bus.
Let's get on the bus. Just gets there and it's just still waiting, you know, for other people to get on.
The deputy said that Gordon stiffened his body, refused to leave, and claimed to be blind and deaf.
Whoa, wait, hold on. Yeah. Stiffened his body? What part of his body?
And then was blind and deaf.
Blind and deaf, yeah. Why does being blind and deaf excuse you for being naked? I'm deaf. I couldn't hear my pants coming off.
I didn't hear my zipper.
Does he go by the rule if I can't see it, it's not illegal?
Yeah, he might, so he might be.
What do you mean I'm naked? I can't see anything.
I didn't know I was naked. That was the chill I'm feeling.
I wonder why I was getting so shrivelly. Why would that be an excuse? Why would he think that would work? He must have a very low opinion of blind and deaf people.
According to the police report, Gordon was removed from the bus with a minimum amount of force. The arresting deputy said that further investigation revealed that Gordon was neither deaf nor blind. Good job.
No kidding. He made his way to the bus stop. Yeah. Took his pants off.
The deputy also said that Gordon confessed to exposing himself and had an excuse. Are you ready?
Oh, so he has an excuse other than being deaf and blind.
Yeah.
He had an itch.
He had to take off the whole, all the pants.
An extreme itch.
You're close.
Oh, God.
He says, quote, "I had to take out my penis because I am hot."
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Actually, JB, it's not that far off.
Yeah.
How did you know this?
And you know what? I can't. I kind of feel sympathetic for the guy.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Is that what you do in the city? Sometimes you just, you know, it's hot in the city. It's really humid. You're just like, I'm going to take my pants off.
I don't know if I would go that far, but I mean, it's been hot before. You wish you could just go free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let the dangle hang free, as we said last week, right?
Yeah. Dangle of justice.
The dangle of justice. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is a good story because I hate it when I'm hot.
Yeah.
I've been telling people, you know, because I've been, you know, sometimes I'll complain when it's like 90 degrees.
Of course,
and
yeah.
People will be like, well, you better be glad it's not the winter.
I love
like,
the winter.
And I'm like, screw you. I'd rather have the winter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me 30 degrees, 20 degrees, and I'll go to bed happy
exactly.
With like blankets and a sweater on me.
Here's the thing. It's cold. You can put more clothes on. But if it's hot, after a certain point, you get charged with lewd and lascivious behavior.
Yeah, damn it.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So take that, cold people. I hate you.
Yeah.
I don't hate you. But, I mean, you can always add clothes. But
right.
After a certain point, taking them off becomes a little awkward.
Right. We can't take
off
more
clothes. You get arrested in Florida. Yeah. He's 81 years old, though. A more logical excuse would have been, I'm senile.
Yeah, he should have done that route. Yeah.
He went deaf and blind.
Well, I don't know where I'm
at. And then hot. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's all he had to do. He's like, what? I'm naked. They would have been like, oh, old people. They're so funny.
What's your name, Billy?
All right, then.
Exactly.
Damn Billy.
Yeah, I know. That damn Billy. We always use Billy as an example. Yeah. That damn Billy.
Can't handle his golf course when a wartime's going on, and now he doesn't handle his grandpa right.
Jesus Christ.
So Dad. It's Billy's responsibility.
Yeah. Damn it, Billy. Not helping us. All right, ready for our next Florida story?
Yeah, let's do another Florida one.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A man in Orange County, Florida, went with, out of all things, a samurai sword as his weapon of choice when he confronted officers after an argument with an editor of a local newspaper.
What?
Yep.
So he got into an argument and he just happened to have the samurai sword with him?
Yeah.
Did he go into the argument with the samurai sword thinking, something's about to go down?
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style!
He's saying that was actual audio, right?
Yeah,
he's thinking, I'm gonna have to cut a bitch.
Yeah, that might actually be actual audio. According to WESH, Terry Butcher, real name, Terry Butcher pulled out a samurai sword after he threatened John Peary, the editor of the Apopka Chief. That's a newspaper.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's a newspaper. he threatened John Peary, the editor of the Apopaca Chief, last week. Police say Butcher pulled the 3-foot-long sword out of the back of his car and, quote, took an aggressive stance when the police showed up to the building.
I love that.
Police said that Butcher had a quarrel with one of the editors of the newspaper after Butcher claimed that he had secret information that would blow this city wide open.
What? What secret information could the... What was the paper's name? Wapapapa?
Apopapa.
Now I can't say
Yeah. Apopocalypse Chief. Is
Apopocalypse Chief.
Yeah.
Is that even...
That's the name of the newspaper.
Apopocalypse
Chief.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I think you said it 3 different ways.
You've never heard him pronounce... You've never heard him pronounce Polish names, JB.
when Peary denied him to publish his secret information, Butcher became visibly angry and upset and told Peary that I'm going to stab you with my sword.
Great.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
If he had been the 81-year-old guy at the bus stop, it would have been a whole different meaning.
Yeah. Police Captain Randy Fernandez said that Butcher then pulled the sword from his car and took an aggressive stance before officers came in to confront him. Mr. Butcher pulled a samurai sword out of a sheath off the back of the car and took an aggressive stance at the officers. The officers challenged him. After the third time, he complied and put the sword down. So no one was hurt.
That's boring. I was expecting, like, Kill Bill over here, you know? Come on.
Butcher was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault on a police officer.
But did he actually assault them?
He took an aggressive stance.
He took an aggressive stance, Mike.
What's an aggressive stance? If I frown, is that an aggressive stance?
With a samurai sword?
Okay, I guess that's fair. But I want to know who carries around a samurai sword, though.
Yeah. Where do these people get a samurai sword?
I've never seen anybody with a samurai sword. Where? They're all hiding in Florida is what it is.
Do you know anybody with a samurai sword, Bruno?
I know, too.
Really?
No! You would say that.
Yeah, we need to get a picture.
Oh, wait. You got to tell us. You know 2 people with samurai swords.
Yeah, they got it at the Comic-Con thing in Philadelphia.
Oh, damn. I didn't know it was all the Comic-Con.
Wow.
Yep.
So that could be one of your friends.
Are they
like
real samurai swords? Like, can they cut through things?
Yeah, I think they are.
Really?
Yeah.
They can get away with that at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do these people take them places? Do they take aggressive stances with them?
I don't think so.
No.
Definitely not an aggressive stance.
No, a peaceful stance.
Peaceful stance, yes.
Okay. Peaceful samurai sword stance.
Yes.
Makes sense.
There's many different stances. There's nonchalant.
Nonchalant. I want to see that in the police report. He took a nonchalant stance. You know. It was suspicious, so we arrested him anyway.
He's just walking down. He's got the samurai sword in his hand. Yeah.
Is it like a cheery stance where you're like twirling around like a cane?
Yeah, you're just... I'm singing in the rain.
The rain happens to be blood. Oh, samurai swords. That is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Rich, have you ever seen anyone with a samurai sword?
No, not that I can think of. I can't think of anybody with a 3-foot samurai sword. I can't think of anybody.
I know. I just think it's crazy. There's 3 people here, and two people have seen 0, and one person's seen 2 people. What are the odds of that?
But in Florida, they come out left and right, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
They're in the back of everyone's car.
Yeah, it's a standard issue for all Floridians.
You have your golf clubs and your samurai swords.
Don't mix the 2 of them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Mm. All right. Florida.
Yeah. All right, ready for one more Florida story?
Sure.
Why not?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
For this one, we are going to follow the case of 58-year-old Jamie Sperling. Don't you love these when we follow the
I love following a case. It's like a whole little narrative. We get to know the character, or the person, rather. It's always a fun time. So what is the case of, what was this person?
Jamie Sperling. Okay. Yep. Well, Jamie Sperling is a 58-year-old, quote, professional pirate entertainer.
You are a pirate.
Yep.
What does it mean to be a professional pirate entertainer?
You are a pirate.
There you go. Now I know.
Yeah, he's a pirate. Well, anyway, 58-year-old professional pirate entertainer Jamie Spurring met up with two lady friends at the Sunset Grill for a date. I love that. That's the name of a song, Sunset Grill. Down at the Sunset Grill. No, nobody?
No. All but right. Please serenade us.
Anyway. Just you.
Thank you. Anyway, Spurring was in full pirate costume.
Wait, for the date?
Yes.
Okay.
Obviously.
Maybe she was into it.
You are a pirate.
I believe there's two.
What?
There's two girls.
Yeah, there's two girls, yeah.
So he's a pirate and he managed to get two girls.
Yeah, on the same date, yeah.
Jeez.
Spurring was in full pirate costume and brought two muskets, a dagger, a knife, and a sword with him to the date. Why not?
You are a pirate.
He's armed to the teeth. Where is he going on this date? Is he going on like a battlefield? Two muskets. Well, I guess one for each of the girls.
Did he take an aggressive stance?
No, not yet.
That's for later in the date.
Well, after their dinner at the Sunset Grill, the trio then decided to walk out towards the 7 Mile Bridge for some fun. That's when Spurring decided to have a great idea with the two lady friends and decided to have a contest where they would shoot rounds from a musket into the water, then at passing cars, because, you know, that's not a problem.
You are a pirate.
They essentially started a shooting rampage. What a Friday night.
Yeah, boy.
Hey, babe, you want to go to the bridge and shoot some people?
Man, this is a date idea, man. I never thought of this.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's just crazy. So they shot at cars.
Yeah.
That's like legitimately attempted murder.
Well, on closer inspection, he was only firing black powder rounds, not real ammunition.
That is still incredibly stupid.
Yes, to say that a man dressed as a pirate was firing a gun towards people on the road left a lot of drivers calling the local police. Yeah, unfortunately,
rightfully so.
Yeah, that's not accepted. No. In most societies, maybe in pirate societies, but
pirate societies. What's a pirate society?
Yes, Rich, are you familiar with these pirate societies?
Yeah, they have like their own little thing where they shoot at cars and airplanes and boats.
Rich has done this before.
Yes, he has. He's a pirate on the weekends.
Yeah, this is what I did Friday night. It was I had a great time with my date. It was lovely.
You shot some cars.
Yeah.
You fed a parrot. And he sailed off into the distance.
Yeah, some aggressive stances with swords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we shivered timbers. It was great.
You are a pirate.
Oh, man. I feel like that can be a euphemism for something. Shivered timbers. Oh.
Well, unfortunately.
How long have you been waiting to use that one?
No, this is... This is what I think of late at night.
This is what you think of. You go,
yeah,
shiver timbers.
Next date idea. Full pirate costume.
Full pirate costume.
Well, unfortunately for Spearing, this wasn't a... What did I say?
Pirate society.
Society, that's what I said. Well, unfortunately for Spearing, it wasn't a pirate society. Police came and arrested him on site. He was arrested for disorderly conduct. That's it.
Wow.
Wow. They're very lenient with him.
Yeah. This is Florida, right?
Yeah. I guess because he wasn't in that aggressive stance.
Yeah.
So the guy in Canada, he gets arrested for flying balloons in a chair. And this guy gets a slap on the wrist for shooting at people.
Yeah.
Well, dressed as a pirate.
Firing blanks, so, you know, it's
still a gun.
Yeah, it is. That is crazy.
The arrest report also notes that Spearing was in a flashy pirate getup with an unusual odor. Thanks, police. I don't know why you had to note that.
All right, then. That's ode to pirate.
Yeah. And they also noted that they found a red leather hat, a silver flask that was half empty,
and
a black leather pirate belt.
All right. So. That was a very complete report.
Yep.
I don't know why they had to specify the smell thing.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's pirate discrimination, I tell
you. You are a pirate!
Also, I love word choice. Why flashy pirate getup? Is there drab pirate getup?
Yeah.
I want to know why the cops decided we need the word flashy.
Yeah.
It's not descriptive enough, damn it.
Yeah. He's more like a Johnny Depp pirate.
He's a Johnny Depp pirate, yeah. That's crazy.
So, there you go. That's the Florida odd news for this week. But I got a couple of more odd news stories. You ready for them?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, this one is just a brief story, but this one is going to leave you scratching your head. There's no answers to it.
Okay.
Another Canadian story, actually.
Wow. Canada making a push for biggest odd news place.
Yeah. In Halifax, Canada.
Okay.
Police are asking help for finding a man that's suspected of trying to climb a building, but then he failed at that. So he decided that his next option was to touch himself in front of the building.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Okay,
that's it?
Yeah.
What, yeah, is that it?
Halifax Regional Police said that a man who was wearing a black hoodie and gray gym pants was caught on camera behind a building on a local block in Halifax, Canada. He was seen trying to climb a second floor balcony, but he failed to do so. That's when he decided to give up and just pull down his pants and touch himself on the street.
So, I mean, was he trying to go somewhere to do that?
Maybe.
And he couldn't get there?
Maybe he was.
It's just like, I just give up, I'll just do it on the first floor?
I guess. Or what, maybe
what
he
type
was
of building was this? Was it an apartment building? Like, was he going after somebody? Or was
no,
this just like...
No, it was an office building.
An office building?
Yeah.
And when they say he failed at climbing it, did he, like, even try? Or did he just, like, jump up and be like, oh, I'm too tired for this, and just whack it out there in the front door?
Well, the camera says that he was trying to climb up to the second floor balcony, so I
but
guess
did
he was
he really try?
I'm going to say yes. That's what the police report says.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
What, you don't believe these Halifax police?
No, I just think it's ridiculous.
Those damn Halifax police are taking liberties.
I just think it's ridiculous that he's like, he tried to climb, but then he failed, so he just touched himself. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Was he trying to climb with a hard-on? Is that why he failed?
That might have been why he failed.
All the blood was rushing to somewhere else. He didn't have the upper body strength.
Yeah, it's an erection's not very aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic? How's he climbing this building? He's just soaring through the air. It is aerodynamic if you use it as like the nose of a jet fighter and you're like soaring upward.
With his boner first.
With his boner first. Yeah. Why are we debating the aerodynamics of a boner?
The odd news.
The odd news. This is like a perverted version of Spider-Man is what it is. Yeah. Spider-Man falls off the building. He's like, screw it. Just tears open his spandex.
The suspect is described as a thin white man in his 20s. There is footage of him trying to do all this. So if you know anything about this, go call Halifax police and try and explain the logic behind this.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. Why an office building?
Yeah.
Out of all the buildings, they're the most boring. Why not like a coffee shop? Get a nice
Why
coffee.
Why a coffee shop?
Get a nice coffee.
And
you
a
know?
Boner?
A boner, yeah. I was just saying, why an office building? Right? I'm saying go to a building where that offers you more than just paper and pencils and stuff. That's boring. You
maybe,
know?
Maybe gets off on that.
Paper and pencils? Oh, yeah.
Ooh, stationery.
Oh, 20 pound. Oh, my God.
I know it's something to do with sex.
20 pound cardstock. Oh, yeah.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Number 2 mechanical pencil. You think he gets off on that?
Maybe.
Maybe. Oh, all right.
All right, and I got one more story for you guys. You ready?
Sure.
This one is actually a pretty crazy case here.
Okay. More crazy than the guy touching himself in front of an office building?
I don't know. Give it a shot.
Okay.
A California woman who was recently rescued from a forest with her newborn baby after a three-day ordeal saying that she gave birth, fought off bees, and started a wildfire is doing okay.
Wait, what?
Yes.
So,
now, did all three of those things happen at the same time?
Yeah, I need to know the order of events here. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, NBC reports that 35-year-old Amber Pangborn was driving to her parents' home when she felt like she might go into labor.
So, wait.
Go into the woods.
So, yeah, I need to get further. She just takes off into the woods.
So,
with a flamethrower and a beehive, apparently.
So instead of taking the main roads, which she thought would be blocked due to traffic, she took a back road through a remote part of Plumas County National Forest. Smart.
Yeah.
Pangborn said that that's when she ran out of gas in her car.
Wait. Did she even have gas enough to get where she was going in the first place?
No. If your car conks out in the forest, yeah.
This was doomed from the start.
Yeah.
She was either going to give birth in the woods or birth on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. See that, people? If you think you're going to go into labor, make sure you have gas in your car.
She also discovered that her cell phone had no reception. While she was stranded, she did go into labor and gave birth to her daughter.
That is crazy.
After she gave birth to her daughter, that's when she wandered further into the woods and came across a beehive that was trying to sting her.
Bees! Bees! Bees in the car! Bees everywhere! God, they're huge! They're ripping my flesh off!
Son, roll around! Do you hear me? Roll around on the ground!
Forget that! I'm starting to swell up!
Save yourself! Don't be the hero!
Frank, I'm allergic to bees. Me too.
They're huge and they're sting crazy.
Save yourself.
Your firearms are useless against them.
Why did she wander further into the woods? Why didn't she go back?
Logic. I don't know.
I'm stranded in the middle of a national forest. I know. I'll head straight into the heart of it.
Yeah.
Away from civilization. Yeah. Was she planning on running away and joining the mountain men? And starting a commune in the middle of the woods?
Maybe it's Gone Girl 2.
Gone Girl 2, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is it's a long-awaited sequel.
Yeah.
Oh. So wait, how's the baby doing?
So far, the baby's all right.
She just popped it out, bit the umbilical cord off, or is it still attached?
Maybe it's still attached. I don't know. I have
no
idea.
Dragging it behind. She slung it over her shoulder like a hobo patch.
Yeah, she's using a little patch. All like, that placenta?
All the... Oh, God. She's... I might be stranded out here for a while. She just starts eating it. That's gross. Oh. I bet there's, like, probably, like, a campground. Like, a mile to one in one direction, you know? She's probably, like, 40 yards away from civilization, and she's freaking out.
After she was safe from the bees, she then lived off of apples and water.
Okay. She was really planning for the long haul,
yeah,
wasn't she?
This is Gone Girl too.
She
yeah.
just straight up gave up. She's like, I'm not going to go backwards. Yeah. I'm just going to stay right here.
Oh, my God. I'm never going to make it back to civilization.
Why didn't she walk backwards? it doesn't make any sense. Or stay with the car. It might be out of gas, but, I mean, like, there's a cushion you could sit on, right?
There's something for the baby.
There's the car manual you could read for entertainment. Think about all the features you can't use. It doesn't make any sense. This is really frustrating me. She's so stupid.
Yep.
Somebody...
Wait, it gets better.
Oh, yeah, because she has to start a forest fire. I forgot about that one.
Yep.
So we're at that part of the story now, right?
Yeah. So she moved further into the woods. don't understand.
Well, now she has to get away from the bees, so I understand that.
Right, okay. Now she's running, yeah.
Don't make me into my ultimate form!
So she moves further into the forest, and she grabs her hairspray and her lighter.
Yes, that's a great idea. Yes. I like where she's going with this.
Yeah, and started a brush fire. I thought she started a fire to stay warm. She just started a forest fire just because?
Smoke signal.
I guess that makes sense, but what? I think her original intent was to, like, stay warm and, like, cook something.
Oh.
But unfortunately, it
got... Why would she just use the lighter then?
Yeah.
Why is everything to the extreme? Get stranded in the woods, go in further. Come across a beehive, fight them off. Need to start a fire to stay warm? Make a flamethrower.
Well, that was when she did not control the fire properly.
No kidding.
And it spread. Pangborg says that the moment she looked up, she said the whole side of the mountain that she could see was caught on fire.
When they found her, what did they do with the baby? Did they take the baby or did they leave the baby with her?
They're just like, excuse me, we're going to take this real quick.
Bang.
She set an entire side of the mountain on fire.
Pangborn said that was when I looked at my baby Marissa and was like, I think mommy just started a forest fire.
This is, look, honey, that's the forest fire mommy set.
Aren't you proud of me?
Wait, she named the baby?
Yeah.
She had a name ready to go.
Yeah, she had time to name the baby, too.
Did she fill out a birth certificate and all that stuff, too?
She lost it in the fire.
Oh, my God.
But are you ready for this?
It's not over yet? I thought that was going to be it. But
here's the kicker.
Oh, there's a kicker.
Because
so the fighting the bees and the forest fire weren't the kickers.
No.
Okay.
Because she started the fire and it got out of control.
Right.
It got the attention of U.S. Forest Service, who reported to the scene, had to fight the fire, and then found the culprit, the mother and her newborn baby, who had made it all the way back to their car.
What? I don't understand.
So now, when the fire has spread beyond the point where she can't control it, now's a good time to make it back to my car.
Maybe I should have stayed at the car. Oh, my God. I think she went further into the forest just to start the forest fire. There's no other reason to go into the forest.
Emergency personnel were called onto the scene, and they fought the flames. They were able to douse it out before it spread any further. And both mother and daughter went to a hospital and are listed in good condition. So, there you go.
I just have this image of this woman standing there holding a baby just staring out at this flaming mountain.
Yep.
It's like the final scene in a really crappy B-movie action drama.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, you know, it's Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a fire.
What a subtitle!
Coming to theaters in 2016.
Oh, Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start Forest Fire.
Rosamund Pike, man, you can't believe the crap she's going to be up to in this movie.
I know, it's wild.
They're going to have like the narration. I made sure that there was no gas in my car.
Yeah.
Then I made sure I had the perfect traffic alibi. I left at 5 o'clock during rush hour.
I waited 9 months just to give birth on the way there.
Everybody feels sorry for a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
That's when I took out my hairspray and my lighter.
To make it seem like I was running from something, I sprayed myself with bee pheromones so that they would chase me further into the woods. It does sound like Gone Girl 2. Yeah. I've always been in the start of forest.
Yep. Coming soon to theaters.
I love the title because, one, it's in the first person. And too. It just straight up says what it's about.
Yep.
Yep. So keep your eyes out for the upcoming Gone Girl sequel. It's gonna be a good one.
Oh my god.
So there you go. That is what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie news. I hope you go out and get to see Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a forest fire.
Premiering in theaters summer 2016.
So before we start to wrap up the show, we like to go over everything that we've learned. Folks, it's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, besides the fact that we're going to have Gone Girl 2, I've always wanted to start a fire, what else have we learned?
I mean, that was the big one right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, boy, man.
I can't wait for that sequel, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's at the top of my must-watch list. Yes. I've also learned, though, that samurai swords are standard issue in Florida. And apparently there are many stances you can take with a samurai sword, including nonchalant and happy. I didn't realize that. In addition to aggressive.
Yeah, it's great fun for the whole family.
Great. Okay. All right. Buy a pack of four, the family pack of samurai swords.
Yeah, buy three, get one free.
There you go.
I don't know why.
Where is that? At Acme?
Yeah.
Buy three, get one free.
Yeah,
awesome.
At Wawa.
At Wawa. There you go. Yeah. Keep that in mind.
They got a store in Florida.
They do. So there you go, folks. We just learned that. You can buy samurai swords at Wawa. We also learned that you can always add clothes if you're cold, but taking off clothes gets you arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior.
Yeah, so crank up that AC.
That's right. Oh, Rich, have you learned anything?
I'm ready.
Other than you're about to be a movie producer, apparently.
Yeah, I can't wait to produce the sequel, Gone Girl 2. And soccer sucks. Thank you very much, everybody. There you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
One more note to make before we wrap everything up. I'm happy to announce that we're going to have a returning guest next week on the podcast. I'm so stoked. Rick Murarkey will be coming back week on the podcast. Oh my gosh, he's always hilarious.
He always leaves me in stitches. This is going to be his fourth time on the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good friend of the show.
Yep. We went to see him do stand up.
We did.
During the weekend of too many games, actually.
Yeah, yeah. In Westchester.
Just in case we didn't have enough on our plate that weekend.
Yeah.
But we made it work. It was great to see him live in his element. So he'll be here next week. I can't wait. And the reason why is because he is going to have a big show at the Trocadero, that's huge to make it to that stage.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big Philly venue.
He's been there before, hasn't he?
He was on the stage upstairs.
Okay.
But for this one, that will happen that Saturday. Not this Saturday upcoming, but the Saturday after that. He will be on the main stage, which is huge.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to having him back on the podcast next week. And if you're interested in seeing him live at the Trocadero, make sure you get your tickets as soon as possible, because it might sell out. It's a pretty big event. Woo! And there you go. I think we've covered all of our bases for this week's episode. We've been through a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of heartache. A lot of discovery.
Yes.
And a lot of hope for the future.
Yes.
Especially with Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a fire. Can't wait to do it.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to that one.
This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos of our interviews, our best bits, and some other fun stuff we've put up there. We're going to have all the Too Many Games videos up there.
That's this week.
That's right. That is this week. So make sure you go check out all the latest news and interviews from Too Many Games 2015 on our YouTube channel.
That's right. If you haven't had a chance, definitely got to take a look. I think we're doing a video a day from the event.
We have.
And along, you're going to have an article for every video?
Yes, articles for every video. So stay tuned to both the website and the YouTube channel. But if you want all of the Crispy Noodle podcast, make sure to check out iTunes, where you can get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we post the best bits of the Crispy Noodle that are condensed to around 1 to 2 minutes. We call them mini noodles. So if you want to listen to funny bits of the Crispy Noodle on the go, that's where you can find them on SoundCloud. Search for the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You can find them there.
That's right. So many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Bruno, do you want to plug your Twitter? Are you doing anything over there? What are you doing?
I don't know what my Twitter is.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
All right. Keep up 2 weeks in a row. One of these days we'll get them.
Keep up the good work. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later. Woo!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow! Something!